listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're
listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and with me is co-host extraordinaire, psychologist, Dr. Melody Fox.
And each week we'll bring you guests that inspire, educate, and entertain you while bringing answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future.
And once again, we've spirited Melody away from her private practice in Newport Beach, where she works with adults and their relationships, as well as teens and their families. Melody, how was your holiday?
It was very quiet and nice. Spent some time with the family, and that was really great.
You know, I did the same thing, and it was one of the best holidays in the sense that we kept it very small. We kept it quiet. We didn't run around everybody else's house. We said, here's what we're doing at our house. We'd love to have you join us.
Mm-hmm. That's one way, bring everybody to you, and with all the rain.
Yep.
Some people showed up and some people didn't, right?
Exactly.
Well, I'm excited about our topic today. It's about teens, kids, news, TV called For Teens by Teens. Teen Kids News is a leading television news program for teens and kids nationwide. This weekly FCC-friendly 30-minute show aims to inform, educate, and inspire. And Teen Kids News has won numerous awards and was recently recognized by the advocacy group Children Now as a leader in the field of educational television programming. And I've caught this when I've traveled. I don't have cable at home and I don't get a lot of channels, whatever, but when I travel, I take advantage of that. And I've seen this show several times. I've been so impressed with it. I really have enjoyed it.
Well, and so have I. In fact, I even had my sons check it out, and they like it, which is nice because they're teenagers and they're a little fickle at this age. I'm really glad to have as our guest today Al Primo. Al is the creator of the Eyewitness News concept. This news format changed the face of broadcasting and set the standard for current television news productions. And for those that are either weren't around then or don't remember, before Eyewitness News, there was only an anchorman, a weatherman, and a sportsman. Al introduced reporters telling their own stories, eyewitnesses, if you will, on set in the field, which created a more comfortable, easy-to-understand news program. Really, he's a legend in the TV news industry. Al was vice president of news for ABC before he started his own production company, which currently produces Teen Kids News, which is seen on over 200 television stations. In Los Angeles, it's on Fox, as it is in New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and 50 other Fox stations. TKN is also carried on all 29 Hearst broadcasting stations. Al, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Well, I'm very thrilled and honored to be your guest today, and happy to be here.
Well, it is great to have you, and I think one of the first things that comes to mind is, after doing all that you've done in TV news, what led you to create a teen show like this?
Well, I was watching television, and it was about the time of that shooting down at Columbine, and it just occurred to me that most of the time when television is showing pictures of teenagers, they're either involved in sex, drugs, or rock and roll. And I said to myself, there have got to be some good kids out there with good stories to tell, and I think I'm going to try to find them. So I put together what we call in the television business a treatment for this program called Teen Kids News. And what a treatment is it's an outline of what the program is, how long it will run, what the concept is, what the idea is, and so on. And I took this concept to ABC, to NBC, to CBS, and Fox. And, you know, I've been in the business for a long time, and so I was able to bring this to the attention of really the right people in the right positions. And everyone that I showed the concept to really liked it. They thought it was wonderful. They thought it was needed. And unfortunately, none of them were able to clear any time on their network. And I guess it's probably one of the hardest things to do in America is to get a time slot on any of these networks. But the reaction was so positive that I decided that, you know, I'll try and just talk to individual stations to see if I could clear this program station by station. One of the things that people don't realize is that there is a law in this country that says that every television station is required to put 3 hours of children's programming on the air every week.
Wow.
When that law was passed, all of the TV stations scurried to their networks and said, oh, my goodness, how are we going to do this? And each of the networks said, well, don't worry about it. We'll provide that programming for you. So each of the networks provides each of its affiliates with 3 hours of what they call children's programming. And to be perfectly honest with you, some of this children's programming is what we call a stretch.
Yeah. To say the least.
I think we have shows like Inside NASCAR Racing or the NBA on ABC. You know, and these are, they qualify, I presume, as children's programming, but it's really not true children's programming, in my opinion. And actually, this organization, Children's Now, monitored all the children's programming for a year, and they said there were only 8 programs that truly follow the Federal Communications Commission guidelines of what Teen Kids News, what children's programming is. And Teen Kids News was up there with Sesame Street and 7 other programs, so we're very proud of that acknowledgement. But to get back to the story, I started to call just on my own on this very telephone that I'm speaking to you on from my offices here outside of New York City in Greenwich, Connecticut. And, you know, I said to myself, if we were able to get 50 stations to carry this program, then that would be enough to start. And lo and behold, in the first week, we got 35 stations, and in the second week, we got 50 stations, and before long, we had 175 stations signed up to carry Teen Kids News. So what I did was to create a limited liability company, and I went to family and friends and raised some money to cover the first year's production. And we launched the program, and that was, my goodness, it's 9 years ago this year. And we put the program on, and it was very, very successful right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And how many people do you think watch the show? I know we love it, but how long has the show been on the air, and what has been your response for the parents?
Well, I think that, to be perfectly honest with you, television is really a large medium. And frankly, most of the audience that watches Teen Kids News is adults. We have many, many more adults than we do have children, because you know it's just that way. We have about 600,000 women 18 to 54, and about 400,000 men 18 to 54 watching the program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every week we're over 1 million adults, and then we have an equal number of children. Now, because the program is on Saturday and Sunday mornings, usually, you know, we get a lot of smaller kids. You know, we call the program Teen Kids News, mm-hmm. and we do that for a very important reason. The Federal Communications Commission, FCC, breaks down children's programming into 2 categories, 12 and under, which is very, very restrictive in terms of advertising and commercials and, you know, all the things that you do. And then they have the second category, which is 13 to 16. And that's the category we chose, 13 to 16, mm-hmm. because, you know, we're able to be, presenting a more viewable program. For example, if you have a program that's 12 and under, and there's a scene, say, of a taxi cab going by with a billboard on the top, well, the FCC will count that as a commercial. Hmm. See, so, you know, so it's very restrictive. And so what we categorize ourselves is 13 to 16 years old.
Yeah, but like you said, though, a lot of the younger children do watch it. I think it's very entertaining, and I think it provides mentors to these teenagers doing the news, provide mentors for those younger children sitting there watching them. Oh, that would be really cool to do that. I'd like to do that or see that or experience that. That I think it's a wonderful program in that respect.
Well, we do get a lot of our viewers writing in wanting to know how they could become reporters on the program. And as a matter of fact, you know, we launched on our website, teenkidsnews.com, a contest this week which says, if you want to be a reporter on Teen Kids News, you know, make a presentation of yourself doing a story and send it to us. And we're going to have a group of judges, including myself, take a look at all of these reporter submissions, and maybe one or two of them will get to be on our program.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, Al, you know, I think our connection has gotten a little bit fuzzy. It's breaking up a little bit. So let us go ahead. We're going to break for a commercial. We'll come right back, and we will call you. We'll call you back on the same line. All right?
Okay. Great.
All right. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back. We are talking with Al.
Hello.
Primo. Al, we have you back on the line.
And another.
Okay.
And somebody
I'm
else.
Here.
And you're so popular, somebody else is trying to call you as well.
Oh, this is a much better connection, too.
Yes, it really
is.
Oh,
good. I'm so glad. I'm glad we have a good connection. Great.
All right. Okay, so can you kind of pick up where you're at? You were telling us a little bit more about the FCC.
And the contest that's going on
and
right
the
now.
Contest, exactly.
Yes, well, we get many requests via email or phone calls from our audience all over the country and the world, as a matter of fact, about how to become a reporter on our program. And, of course, you know, the program is produced in New York City, and we really, you know, don't have the budget to go and have reporters from Los Angeles and other places. But what we've been able to do is every once in a while we'll get a reporter from the Midwest or Chicago or Los Angeles, and then let them do a story that on that basis. And so we have this contest on Teen Kids News, how to become a reporter. And we're asking those who have asked about to make a video of themselves. You know, nowadays it's very easy to make a professional video. And so we're going to be having a series of judges, including myself, look at all of these tapes and do it.
You know what, Al? We may need to call you back here because for some reason, I don't know if it's all the snow or the storms in between our homes on the East Coast and the West Coast, but I'm wondering if there's another, if we could call either your home or your mobile phone, if that might work.
Do you have the mobile with you?
I do have my mobile phone, yes, I do, and I'm happy to use that. What you just heard before was a beep, and I have this call waiting business, so that was a call that was coming in, which I've just disconnected, and I think we should be okay. If you can hear this, okay.
Well, yeah, but it's still a little bit garbled. It sounds like you're underwater.
Call me on the mobile phone. It's here, and I have a headset, and we'll do it that way.
All right, we'll call you right back.
All right.
In the meantime,
okay, here we go. Dealing with Mother Nature.
Yes, of course.
All right, I'll call you right back.
In the meantime, let's talk about a little bit. Why don't you talk about while you're calling him, how your holiday was?
Actually, it'd be better if you talk because I need to focus on dialing a new number here.
Okay, multitasking. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. It was fun walking the dog in all the rain and all the puddles and some big galoshes a friend gave me, which was great. Mm-hmm. It was nice to have dry feet after coming back from walking the dog and stepping in puddles that you don't see because the water gets so deep. And then all the snow. We've had all that beautiful snow, too, down to 1,500 feet up in the mountains here locally. Beautiful drive-in today. And I know they're having a lot of snow where Al is.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of snow out there. So, yeah, this is really exciting. I'm excited to hear more, too, when we get them back on the air about how some of the teens that may be listening or the family members are going to be able to have their kids or support their kids in putting together a tape to put back in for Al.
Absolutely.
I think that would be really great.
Okay.
And I guess it's ringing now, and hopefully he'll
pick up.
There we go.
Hello, Al.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi,
Hello,
Al.
You're back, and we're happy to have you. And I was just saying I want to hear more about how you're finding some of these young reporters in and around New York, I think you were saying. But I imagine at some point your budget's going to be big enough you could have the roaming reporters, the eyewitness people all over the country and the world. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like that a lot.
Well, it's such a fantastic program, but can you say again what you were talking about before we had to cut you off and recall you about?
Well, I'm a very big believer in trying to get as many people to watch your product as possible. Mm-hmm. And we've done a couple of things that are very unique to television programs that haven't been done before. For example, after we produce the program, Teen Kids News, and send it to the 200 stations out there,
mm-hmm.
We bring it back into the studio and take out all of the commercials and make a 25-minute purely educational program, and we send it to 10,000 schools every week.
Wow. That's a lot of schools in the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we do that through a organization called the National Education Telecommunications Association.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their uplink in Columbia, South Carolina, and they send the program to these schools. And I have a person in Washington, D.C. who goes to the school conventions and so forth and contacts these school librarians and so forth and makes arrangements for the program to be seen by satellite, or also we have it sent via the Internet. So we stream the program on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
and that's worked out quite well. And in addition to that, our government, which is a wonderful, wonderful government, has something called the American Forces Network.
Yes.
And our program is on the American Forces Network. So we're seen in 1,000 locations in 175 countries every week through this system. And this is in Iraq, Afghanistan, it's in Germany, Italy, Korea, anywhere there are Americans stationed, Mm-hmm. Like, my wife's sister worked for the CIA, and she was stationed in Gibraltar. And she was telling me that when she was in Gibraltar, she lived in an apartment building, and her cable company was American Voices Network. And so she was able to see our program and other American programs through this system. So we have a very wide distribution for the program.
And that's what's really nice, too, because the teens that travel with their families that are stationed in other countries could really feel connected back to the United States and what's happening here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, and speaking of being at the schools, and then we had some comments. And again, these are listeners who have received the press release, you know, earlier, maybe a week or two ago, and went ahead and sent in some emails. And some of these comments are just wonderful. I'd like to share one now. And it says, while at school, my son watched a piece that you did on how the San Francisco Giants recycle nearly everything. He now has set up a recycling system here in our home and is writing a proposal to his high school on how the students could help save money and the environment by stepping up their recycling efforts. Thank you for getting messages to our kids in a way that they will listen.
Well, that is so thrilling to hear, because that's exactly what we set out to do with this program, is to try to bring stories like that and have people take action with them. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing to hear.
And, you know, we were a little garbled when you were talking about how you find and qualify teens to become some of your reporters. Could you repeat some of that? Because we had missed out on some of that.
You know, I'll tell you, I've been in TV a long time, and one of the things that I learned very, very early on in my career is you could have a lot of good ideas and you could put a good program together, but the most important thing that you got to have is good talent, mm-hmm. good people on the air. And so we really work very, very hard to pick these people. And I was just reading a story just the other day about the movie True Grit that was just made and is out there now.
Right.
And I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's a remake of the old John Wayne movie called True Grit. And one of the stars of that movie is a young 13-year-old girl. And the producers of that movie interviewed 15,000 young girls before they selected the exact right one, and they did, in fact, pick a great actress, who really wasn't an actress. And, you know, this was her first role as in the movie. Mm-hmm. But what I did was to try to we had what we call open auditions mm-hmm. in New York, and New York is very famous, as you know, for having lots of good talent and lots of people who want to be in the communications area. They want to be on radio. They want to be on television. They want to do commercials. And a lot of them have agents. And so I talked to some of these agents that I knew and told them what I was doing. And they sent over some of their best people, and we just had these auditions. And we interviewed many, 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 many kids for this role. But one of the things that I struck upon purely by accident, and it was it turned out to be a big break. I know, for example, Kathy Lee Gifford, and she has a son, as you all know. When she was doing the Regis and Kathy Lee show, she was always bringing this little baby, Cody, out.
Right.
And, well, as it turned out, when we started this program, Cody was a teenager, so they happen to live in Greenwich, so Frank Gifford mentioned to me that his son was a teenager. He said, well, let's send him down. And so we did we put him on the air to do the sports. Then Paula Zahn has a daughter, and her name is Haley, and we picked her to be the anchor girl. And, you know, we used a lot of celebrity kids, and currently, you know, the last we used was Meredith Vieira's son. She has a son who is very interested in sports, and he has done some sports pieces for us. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that the reviewers and the press people, you know, picked up on the idea of these celebrity kids, which was, and it provided a lot of coverage for the show and really
got us kick-started very well. Mm-hmm. But we look for people who, and I always say this to the people who want to be on television. I say, you know, I don't want you to come here because your mom said or your dad said you should do it, or you just had this thought maybe one day that you should do it. I said, this is a lot of work, and you really have to want to do this. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the requirements that we make, is that they really work hard for it and prepare for it. And I always say, you know, if you want to be on Teen Kids News, then you should have been in the school play, you should be in the community theater, you should be in the church choir, you should, you know, be in situations where you're standing up before people and performing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been kind of the key to some of the successful people that we've hired.
Now, I had a question regarding the news stories that they have. Do they write a lot of their own stories, or do they just read the copy?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, because they're so involved in their schoolwork, mm-hmm. and their time is very limited, they have to prepare most of the copy. Now, we always say that the kids act as our managing editors. So, you know, they'll tell us if the words aren't quite right, or if we're, doing a story that's not in sync with what teenagers are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use them in that regard. So they do have input into the program. But we do have a big writing staff and a big production staff because, you know, it's and Dateline and all, 2020 and all these programs all cover their stories in the exact same way we cover ours.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we send a camera crew and a producer out to the story, and they do most of the work, and then at the last minute the reporter comes in and does the stand-up or does the narration. And that's the way we do it.
Now, does Teen Kids News work with other news organizations?
We do. You know, we have some arrangements where people can send us. A lot of our stuff is on the Discovery Channel. Discovery Educate. You know, the Discovery Channel has a big organization called Discovery Education, and they take, for example, they take Teen Kids News and they put some of our segments into their system, which they send to schools, and sometimes we'll take stories from them.
Very nice. Now, I've got a question, and it's more for you in regards to how news has changed. Now, and I watched some of the shows, and I noticed the kids seem to do a really good job of reporting the news rather than just kind of throwing out their own views on it. And I think we all know, I mean, TV news has changed considerably over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that we've gone way away from just reporting the news, and too many people are reporting their own views. What is your opinion on broadcasters putting their own slant on the news at this time?
Well, I think that there are two distinct categories here. One is, and what we try to do is report the news as it happens, as objectively as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those commentators, who have their programs in which, you know, they get on and they give their opinions about what the news is all about. I guess there's a place for that. I'm not particularly interested in hearing that kind of material. I much prefer, you know, the straight reporting. But the reality is that there are a lot of people out there reporting their own opinions,
mm-hmm.
as news, which is not really fair and accurate. The Internet, by the way, is another huge source of this material. You know, we have this new phenomena in America called bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Bloggers are people who just, you know, sit in their living rooms or their bedrooms and get on that computer and write about whatever they're feeling. And some of them are very, very motivated by various agendas, and they start, you know, putting those agendas forward through this blogging technique. And, you know, sometimes they're clever writers, and sometimes they're talented writers and good producers, and they'll get a big audience. You know, you have people like the Huffington Post and other organizations that are just out there doing a lot of this blogging work.
Mm-hmm. Now, do any of your teens on the news show, do they do any blogging about their experiences on your show?
We try to let them do some things about what it's like to be on Teen Kids News, mm-hmm. because the people come to the website and are interested in, you know, for example, our anchor people, one goes now to New York University, another, Mwanza, is at Amherst College, and, you know, he was also, by the way, Mwanza was a Broadway actor. He was the original Simba in The Lion King. Mm. And so he's written about that on the blog, and actually we did a story about The Lion King in which Mwanza went over there and did an interview with the current young man who's doing that part. Mm-hmm. It was quite good.
Now, with your reporters, is there an age in which they are no longer viable? I mean, at 19, is that it, or what about?
Well, that's a very good question, Alan, because, you know, every once in a while, well, not every once in a while, but all the kids on our show are so good, and we've, you know, looked so hard to get them, and they've built an audience and a following that we probably keep them on a bit longer than we should, because, you know, there is a point where they are no longer teenagers, and, you know, to be true to the spirit of what we're doing, we need to change that around. And I think this is the year we will probably make some pretty big changes in the anchor teams.
Right. Or you just start a new network that becomes Young Adult Network News.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, do the acronym, you know, YAV for Young Adult Use or something.
Yeah.
Or
YAV. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
Keep it going.
So, and then I want to share another, actually a listener question, and it says, broadcast news appears to be becoming more concerned with political correctness than the truth in reporting. Does the new generation have more conscious orientation or different viewpoint?
Well, I think that the advent of these communication devices and the ability for people to have instant access is certainly changed the landscape. You know, when Abraham Lincoln was shot, it took many weeks for that information to get through the country because of newspapers and slow distribution of news and information. Mm-hmm. Now, news and information is delivered instantaneously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
President Obama was playing basketball and got elbowed in his mouth and had to get a couple of stitches, and the next day it was all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things that, you know, this is a not what you call a world event, but it certainly had a lot of attention in the media. So, yeah, there's a lot of changes going on about that, and, you know, in a democracy, one of the things that is vital is that there's a free flow of information. And I think there are those who think as much information as possible should be disseminated as quickly as possible. And, you know, I'm not giving an opinion one way or another on that, but I just am taking a view that it's happening, it's there. Mm-hmm. So there's not much time to make decisions. And when you don't have a lot of time to make decisions, sometimes you make erroneous decisions. You know, my wife and I often discuss things together, and we'll want to take an action, whether it's writing an email or do something, and we have kind of a standard line, which let's give this 24 hours. Let's wait 24 hours before we send that note out or, you know, take that action. And I think that's a good policy to have, because sometimes, you know, you can sign a contract too quickly without thinking it through. Mm-hmm. You can do and take an action that you haven't had a chance to think about.
Absolutely. So, I always recommend take 24 hours to think it over, read it over again in the morning, and make sure that's what you want to send out. But now with today's technology, it's so easy just to respond quickly without thinking about it. And once it's out there, it's out there.
Right. And oftentimes you're responding via your emotions. And then even when you would read it yourself 24 hours later, you go, nah, I don't know that I really want to say that.
Yeah, exactly. And I had another listener question that kind of piggybacks what you were just talking about. But it says, my two teens, 14, 17 years old, never read newspapers or watched news on TV. With the ease of the access to the Internet, I find myself doing the same. And as a result, the Internet has become our main resource to keep up with current events. Where do you think the news broadcast industry will end up in the next 10 years as a result of this major shift? And will Teen Kids News, well, you said it's streamed on there, so that could be watched on there as well. But what do you think the changes might be in the next 10 years since you've seen the progression over the past couple decades?
Well, I'm absolutely sure that in the next 10 years, news and information will be distributed on your cell phone, on your mobile device, in your car, in an airplane. You'll have immediate access to news and information. Mm-hmm. It's already being done. For example, you can get Teen Kids News on your cell phone in some situations. And certainly you can hear it and see it on the Internet. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's any doubt that there'll be a convergence of all media into a single, not a single device, but into many devices. Now, you can watch the National Football League football games on your cell phone now. You can do this. I mean, I see people, my own children, they'll be watching movies on their mm-hmm. on their computer. They don't necessarily have to go to the theater. But I love to go to a movie. I love to go into a theater mm-hmm. and kind of be taken away from the everyday business that we're all involved in all the time, to get away for an hour and a half to just watch a good movie in the quiet of the theater.
Right, and escape a little bit.
But there are many options that are going to be available, mm-hmm. And I don't think they're going to put anybody out of business. I mean, television is going to be here. Mm-hmm. I still think they talk about the evening news. Is that going to go away? No, it's not going to go away. Because a lot of people like to come home, sit down, and watch the news that has been organized for them by a professional journalist, mm-hmm. Even though they may not have interest in every single story that's presented and how it's presented. But there's a certain amount of professionalism that will always come through.
Well, I hope so. That's what I look forward to. What I have noticed, too, on a lot of the news programs on TV or something, they do a lot of fear-based stories. And what I noticed when I was able to catch Teen Kids News, it's not very fear-based, which I appreciate because there's so much fear going on in the world, and it scares a lot of young adults and kids and teens and reaching out there to the world. So I really appreciate that the stories that you do are profound and they're topical, but they aren't based in fear.
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up, because we've had a number of occasions when we've done segments, and we look at each of these segments and as to how we do them to make absolutely certain that there is no fear behind them. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is try to present important stories, but in a more straightforward way. One of my favorite stories that we have done is you've heard of the Heimlich maneuver, which is a pretty scary thing, people choking to death on a piece of food. And we had Dr. Heimlich come to Teen Kids News and explain his theory and demonstrate his theory to the kids.
Al?
And he did it in such a way that it was very informative and very positive, and we loved having him on.
Well, and Al, I've got something to share with you. I was actually going to wait until make it pretty close to the very end of the show. We got an email that came in this morning. All right. And this came in. It says, I'll just read it the way that the teacher wrote it. It says, please share my appreciation of Mr. Primo and his network. As a middle school teacher, I have had my students tune in to specific shows that are very informative and entertaining. Over the winter break, I had them write a synopsis of a show of their choice. One student chose The Interview of Dr. Heimlich, where he shows viewers the proper way to perform, quote, the Heimlich maneuver. It says, the student reported this morning that on New Year's Day, he used the maneuver to save his little brother from choking. It doesn't get much better than that. So
wow.
that came in this morning. So I mean,
fantastic.
From the standpoint of making a true, a real impact, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about that. I mean, it's just phenomenal that by having him on and this is a middle schooler, that now for the rest of his life, he's going to know that he was able to use something he learned that may have very well saved his little brother from dying.
That's just a wonderful thing to hear. It brings tears to my eyes, really, to hear it. It's just great. That's what we've been trying to do, and it's just nice. It's so rewarding to hear that. It's just wonderful.
Well, it's such an impact that you make, and I think the angle of the teens presenting the news really opens it up for other teens and children to listen. Because they get, they hear adults. It's kind of like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. Nobody listens to the adults. They're just big drones going on and on. So I think they really perk up and they really listen when the kids are presenting the news and in such an informative way. So I think what you're doing is fantastic.
Right. And I think it's very positive as well. And I think that's huge. And as Melody brought up earlier about the concept of fear-based news, we get these little clips now, in between different shows you might be watching. Make sure that you watch, at 6 o'clock, because we're going to throw something out at you. And if you don't watch it, something horrible is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's fear-based news. Mm-hmm. Now, but at the same time, and then when you do watch it, first of all, it was probably hyped a little more than it needed to be. But it's often way too negative. And having gone on the site, which by the way I was going to say, for everybody out there listening, the site. In fact, you can go to this site and you can actually look at what it is we're talking about while you're listening to the show. And it's www.teenkidsnews.net. All right, that's teen as in teenagers, teenkidsnews.net.
Actually, it should be .com,
okay.
But .net will take you there too. But .com is basically the official URL.
Well, okay. Everything's .com these days, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that was smart. So you guys bought both of them. So you own .com and
.net. We have it wrapped up in such a way that no matter whether it's .net, .org, it'll get you there. But
that's
perfect.
One
of the things that I wanted to touch on was the fact that. In our interest of trying to get kids to start learning and participating in the world around them as soon as possible, I had a business meeting in Dallas, Texas, with a young man who has a company that is very much involved in the Internet and so forth. And he saw Teen Kids News, and he called me up and said, my company provides security cameras for school buses.
Wow.
And he said, I would like to put some TV screens in the school buses and show Teen Kids News. And believe it or not, starting this month, in about 24 school buses in Dallas, Texas area, we have Teen Kids News on these school buses. And I went to a convention of a school bus school transportation directors,
mm-hmm.
and we showed our theory about what we wanted to do, and the reaction was very, very positive. So the next thing you're going to see is Teen Kids News on school buses.
I think great, because the kids are a captive audience.
Program,
and
there's a lot of what's the right word I'm looking for? Kids can be easily distracted on a school bus. You know, the rides are, you know, the average school bus ride is 25 minutes. And that's a lot of time to get into trouble.
Sure.
And when we have these security cameras on there, and now a TV and something for them to watch and learn from, we found that there was like an 82% reduction in incidents of negativity on the school bus. So we're finding that we're going to do a lot of this school bus delivery of Teen Kids News in the future.
I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And it's really, it's maximizing the time that the kids are able to learn while they're going to school. Because as you said, as these rides get longer and longer, that's not productive time. Now, where schools have lower budgets, they're having to cut back in different places. Now, you know, look at all of the benefits that can be had from that going to and from school, where they can learn a little bit more, gain something that's very positive in their life.
And that's a really huge, you know, reduction of negative behavior on a school bus, 82%.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge.
Yeah, that was in the Garland Independent School District down there in Texas. It's eminently checkable. We did that, and we ran it for a month, and it was just. And I mean, the school bus drivers loved it, and the teachers liked it, and the students liked it. So, you know, if you're sitting in a school bus and you know there's a camera taking your picture, you know, you're not going to get up and throw a paper wad at another student or, you know, so quickly. And I think that's, you know, it's not there just for security purposes. Mm-hmm. It's there to give them something to do and something to watch and something to learn from during this downtime. I'm excited about that part of it.
It's a very positive distraction.
Frankly, you know, I invented it, I created it, but I think that the Teen Kids News program, this should be a half hour, this should be 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be on a network. It should be available instead of, you know, wall to wall. You know, we now have Oprah. And Oprah does a wonderful job, and Ellen DeGeneres does a wonderful job, and Dr. Phil does a wonderful job, and all of those people do a great job, but nobody is really doing anything for kids. Right. No one's out there saying, hey, let's take 30 minutes, it's not a lot of time, and let's put on a program where kids can talk to each other or they can see other kids doing things. So, you know, that's what I'm working towards, and I think, you know, I'm trying to get Rupert Murdoch at Fox to, you know, get interested in this. I want one of these big network guys to just take this and really take it to the maximum. I won't stop until that's done.
And I think they're misconstrued sometimes, where a lot of it comes down to money, and having a program every day, you need to have the funding behind and the advertising. And I think they forget that teens have a lot of pull on where the money is spent.
That's right.
In the family. They look a lot at the older, you know, generation, the, you know, 25 to 40 year olds that have a lot of disposable income to spend on products, but it's actually the teenagers. I work with a lot of teenagers and their families, and I hear how much money these parents are spending because the teenagers want them to spend it on certain things. So I think if there is a network that would take it on board and do it as a daily show, I mean, there should be no reason why their advertisers wouldn't be thrilled with the results on their end. So as a money-making business, as television often is, it would be a great resource to put on for them to jump on board.
Definitely. And Al, and before we run out of time, if a school district is interested in receiving Teen Kids News, who do they contact? And in other words, we will have the information on our blog. So for those that are driving and you can't write this down, you can still go to answers4thefamilyblog.com, and we'll forward the information to you. But for those that aren't, go ahead.
Well, they can write to me directly. My email is primonews, one word, PRIMONEWS at AOL.com.
All right.
PrimoNews@AOL.com. Just send me an email and request it, and we'll have someone get in contact with them and get this to them.
That's great.
All right. We are out of time, but Al, thank you so much for coming on. We would love to have you come on again. Let us know as things are coming, as you are getting more things out there. please, we would love to be your West Coast connection and help you get this information out, because you guys are doing a great thing.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. And
thank you.
I hope to be with you again soon.
Great. Sounds great. Take care now. All right. And for Melody?
Yes. For me?
Yes. Anything you want to share before we sign off?
No, I just want to say welcome to a brand new year, and may it be prosperous and healthy and happy, and spend a lot of good quality time with your family.
That's great. All right, everybody, take care. Have a wonderful week. We're out of here.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.